Today is the 24th. My mom and dad's anniversary today. I don't know how many years they've been married. I think it might be 69 years. Anyway, we're having a service this evening. It's Saturday night. No, we're not Seventh-day Adventists. We don't have any respect to a holy day. You can worship God any day of the week, any hour of the day. He is on time every time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know. And I want to, just by way of announcements, I want to remind everyone that we're going to have a talk show again on Monday night, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And the topic, I have sent that out to everyone that I have emails for, is taken out of Edward Henry's book on page 521, The Greatest Lie on Earth, where Edward sets forth that there is the heliocentrism is directly tied to Arminianism. And I'm sure a lot of people will raise their eyebrows and won't like that. I'm sorry. We're discussing it. We're discussing that. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. We're not going to defellowship you, and I hope that you don't defellowship us, because we are talking about something we've been taught our whole life, which is heliocentrism. And we weren't even presented a geocentric model. The only thing I was ever told in school is that people that believed in flat earth were idiots, you know. And we need to, as Paul Harvey used to say, tell the rest of the story. I guess that was done for emphasis, the dropping of the thing. But here's the quote. Arminianism is the natural outgrowth of the belief in a God who has created a heliocentric universe, taken from page 521 of The Greatest Lie on Earth by Edward Henry. This will be discussed in light of the King James Version of the Bible. We're not discussing this in the light of the New International Version or the New English Translation or the New King James Version or the American Standard Bible or the Good News for Modern Man or the Living Bible. No. And we're not going by the Scofield Reference Bible either. Okay. So if you have an interest in this subject, join us on TalkShoe on Monday night. And we might learn something together. If anybody ever wants to come up to Pineville House Church, you're welcome to join us. We have usually 2 or 3 services every week. We have a little church in the Wildwood here. And it's not a big church, but you're welcome. We'll make room for you. And if you don't have a place to sleep, we'll make room for a place for you to sleep. It may not be, you know, it may be Hillbilly Hilton. Okay, it may not be very fancy. Now, I'm going to ask for our first selection, which is 280 marches selected out of the Old School Hymnal, and it's Jesus Heals the Brokenhearted. and maybe we can get Mark to start that for us.
Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sounds to me. When beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. By his sufferings, death and merits, his compassion, blood and pain. Broken hearts and wounded spirits are at once made whole again. Broken by the laws of thunder, to the cross for refuge flee. O'er his patch and sorrows ponder, 'tis his stripes that healeth thee. Oil and wine to heal and cherish, Jesus still to Israel gives. Nor shall e'er a sinner perish who in his dear name believes. In his righteousness confiding, sheltered safe beneath his wing. Here they find a sure abiding, and a kindly mercy sing. Seek my soul no other healing, but in Jesus' balmy blood. He beneath the Spirit's stealing, stands the great High Priest of God.
Okay, the next selection is Psalm 30A on page 35. Mark, you want to start that?
Oh Lord, I will.
That's a little low. Go a little higher. Go a little higher.
Oh Lord, I will exalt you. For you have lifted me. My foes you have allowed not to glory over me. Oh Lord, my God, I plead that you might heal and save. For you from death have ransomed and kept me from the grave. His saints will praise Jehovah and thank his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his grace a whole lifetime. For sorrow like a pilgrim may tarry all the night, but then the shout of joy comes when dawns the morning light. In prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. O Lord, you by your favor my mountain strength maintain. For when your face was hidden, I soon was troubled sore. I cried to you, Jehovah, the Lord I will implore. Is there in my blood prophet, within the grave I dwell, will thus proclaim your praises, your truth and glory tell. Oh, hear me now, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. To you I cry, Jehovah, oh, now my helper be. In thou turn my sorrow to dancing full of joy. You've loosened all my sackcloth and girded me with joy. To you sing songs my glory and ever silent be. O Lord, my God, I'll thank you through all eternity.
Okay, the last song we're going to sing is 420, O thou in whose presence.
Thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, of whom in affliction I come, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep? To feed them in pastures of love. Say, why in the valley of death should I weep, or alone in this wilderness road? Oh, why should I wander an alien from thee, or cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when my sorrows they see, and smile at the tears I have shed. Restore, my dear Savior, the light of thy face, thy soul-cheering comfort impart, and let the sweet tokens of pardoning grace bring joy to my desolate heart. He looks and ten thousands of angels rejoice, and myriads await for his word. He speaks an eternity filled with his voice, re-echoes the praise of the Lord.
Well, the more we study the Word of God, and the more we look around us in our world, the more we understand that it is more relevant, most relevant today. There's a lot of people that say that, you know, the Word of God is not relevant for today. It's just as relevant as it has ever been. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's been a vast conspiracy by Satan and his emissaries to attack the Word of God, to attack God, God's creation, to attack God's redemption, to attack election, predestination, to attack the universe and how and its origins and the way it works. Everything that the Bible says, Satan and his emissaries have waged war against. One day there was a war in heaven, wasn't there? Satan, Lucifer, fought, and he didn't win that war, and he's not going to win the final war either, I will tell you that. Very happily, I will tell you that. Now, I want to read a little passage in the 12th chapter of Romans tonight, if you have your Bibles. 12th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. I'm not talking about the transformers that kids used to play with. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is a very timely exhortation for us in this day we're living in. You know, he started with that verse. I will read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to this world. What does that mean, to be not conformed to this world? Well, we could look at it all on a lot of different angles. Being not conformed to this world would mean being not conformed to the educational system of this world. Being not conformed to the religions of this world. Being not conformed to the seminaries of this world. Being not conformed to the movies of this world. Being not conformed to the dress of this world. Being not conformed to the arts of this world and the literature of this world. And the music of this world. Be not conformed to the educational systems of this world. Be not conformed to the false sciences taught in this world. There's a lot of things wrapped up in conformity, isn't there? I was reading today out of The Greatest Lie on Earth by the guy that was the chief of staff of the New York Times, making a speech in 1953 about the media. And he said, if you don't, basically I'm paraphrasing, if you don't lie, if you don't misconstrue what's going on, if you say what you think, you won't have a job. I can relate to that. The governmental systems, the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, the press are all owned, 93% are owned by the Jewish establishment, and they're liars. they want to give the world the lie. Misinformation. And he says here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we renew our mind? You know, that's the title of R.C. Sproul's program, Renewing Your Mind. But yet he makes a lot of statements that shows that he's conformed to the world, doesn't he? Renewing your mind means staying in the authorized version of the Bible and not trying to uphold Catholicism. And not trying to uphold false seminary terms like common grace and the general call and denying that God fitted some for destruction. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We go to His Word. And when we read something that goes against our flesh, we don't deny it. We embrace it. That's how we prove it. Even the hard scriptures, we don't say, well, I don't go along with that. When it says, I create light, I create darkness, I create evil, I, the Lord, do all these. Oh, I can't go along with that. Why not? Why not? The Bible says to prove. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, notice he doesn't say that he is saying this through his free will. He says the only way that he is able to articulate anything is through the grace that's given to him. And here's what he says, that man is not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There's a lot of people that have a awful high opinion of themselves, and they want to take on all the titles, and they want to plaster them all over the place on their cards, on their websites. They want those titles. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's the dealer, you know. Let the chips fall where they may. God's the dealer. You know, people talk about, well, I guess I got a bad hand. God's the dealer. God's the one that dealt the hand. Let the chips fall where they may. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, you know. But don't call me up and start trying to do the little divide and conquer routine and start putting everybody else down. You know, don't do the divide and conquer routine. Oh, so-and-so tries to take, you know, preeminence, or this so-and-so was this, or that. You know, I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. You know, God's the one, God's the dealer. God's the one that's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we don't all have, we have many members, but we all don't have the same office. God's given different gifts to different people. And you may have the gift, one gift, and I may have another gift, and one other person may have a totally different gift. But we're all members of the body of Christ. Verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, and back to grace again. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Well, it's also God that gives grace. According to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with the simplicity. If you have some money and you've given some people the money, you don't need to go around telling everybody else that you gave somebody some money. They don't want to hear it. Okay? You wouldn't have been able to give it to the people at all if God hadn't given it to you in the first place. It wasn't yours to start with. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Have you ever met someone? I know I have. They talked about helping somebody out, and they talked about how they said it in a real begrudgingly fashion. Oh, I had to give him some money, you know. Oh, he called me up and wanted, he was needing money, so I sent him some money. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. You know, cleave to that which is good. Or do you abhor that which is evil? Do you abhor it? You know what abhor means? Do you know what the word abhor means? It means to hate. So we are to hate that which is evil. If we're not hating that which is evil, there's something wrong. We need to start hating evil. You know. A lot of people in the sovereign grace movement that have the attitude because God creates evil that we're not supposed to abhor it. But this says to abhor it. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Look out. Look out on that one. Preferring one another. And that speaks to me. You know, we want to always prefer ourselves over somebody else, don't we? You know, the Bible says, you know, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you and despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Not slothful in business. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are very slothful in their business. You know, and so when you sometimes, that's a very poor testimony with other Christians saying, there's no way I'd want to do business with that person. That's not a good testimony. Fervent in spirit, serving with the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's hard sometimes when you're going through stuff to be patient. I know it's hard for me. I need more patience. Pray that God would give me more patience. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. I had a person one time tell me, you know, where are the poor anyway? Where are they? Where are they? You know, God can show us and reveal to us who we should be distributing to. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Do we bless those that persecute us? Or do we have the attitude, God will get them? Well, God will get them. But we're not to curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's called empathy. It's called empathy. If you don't have, and I don't have, sadness when we see a brother or sister in Christ going through something, there's something wrong with it. When we see someone rejoicing in Christ, if we don't rejoice, there's something wrong with that. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Woo, woo, woo. Back to the piled higher and deeper syndrome. You know, I got two doctor's degrees. You know, maybe you should go through my assistant. No. He says here, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm sure glad I didn't get a master's degree. That's all I can say. I got enough hogwash just getting an undergraduate degree from a university, and that was, I had to unlearn pretty much everything, all the mind control programming I got there. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, you ever had someone say, you know what, if that guy comes at me, I'll get out of the shotgun and blow him away. No, that's not even, what did Christ tell Peter? He said, put up thy sword. Those that live by the sword die by the sword. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's a tall order, isn't it? Especially today. Avenge not yourself, he says, dearly beloved. You know, we want to try to show vengeance when what are we told? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then he says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. He's thirsty, give him drink. And he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is some practical instruction for the Christian. I hope it's been helpful to go through this. And I think every so often we need to be reminded of this, don't we? That we're just here on this earth a short time. God will help us. We have a calling. We have a selection. 220 glorious things of thee are spoken. 220. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. Peter's word cannot be broken, for thee for his own abode. For the rock of ages founded, what can shake or sure repose? His salvation walls around him, they may smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Will supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want removed. Blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood, Jesus, whom their souls rely on, makes them kings and priests to God. Round each habitation hiding, see the cloud and fire appear. For a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner, light by night and shade by day, thus they feed upon the manna which he gives them when they pray. Savior, if of Zion city I do grace a member am, let the world be right or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldly's pleasure, all his boast and pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Well, may the good Lord be with you tomorrow, and we hope to see you Monday night on Talk Shoe. God bless.